Let's tell the listeners a beautiful story about wallets. Over a year ago, I saw you carrying a wallet, and I immediately went out and bought that same wallet because I thought it was amazing.
Yes, and that wallet I saw, Jackie Tran was using it, saw it, wanted it immediately, asked him who made it, and he told me it was Andar Wallets, and it was one of the coolest wallets I've ever seen. It was nice and compact. It has the RFID protected. I mean, it was a really awesome, well-made wallet. Yeah.
It's actually great to hear. I didn't know you guys had been into these for so long.
Yeah.
So there's something strange about these wallets is that they push it to the limit and they do something different that other wallets don't do. I'm carrying this wallet right now. It's called the Turner that has this little pull tab on it. So like when I load my cards into it, I can pull this pull tab and all my cards slide out. They have this beautiful wallet that just dropped called the Pilot that has a little rotating wheel on the bottom.
I'm going to snag me one of those for sure.
That when you load your cards in, you can roll the wheel on your leg, you can flip it with your thumb, and your cards just pop out just enough to kind of grab them and pull them out. I had a Pilot, their original Pilot, a year ago.
That's the one, that hooked us.
That's the one that hooked us. And you have no idea how many people at stores when I was paying, how many people saw me flip those cards out, wanted that wallet, and wanted to find out where we got that wallet. So we contacted Andar and told them this story, and they gave us a promo code that you guys can use to get
And I want to throw in a personal discount because I'm new to the game, but for me, I'm a guy who forever has been the guy who has that wallet that is like 5 inches thick and just filled with crap.
Changed my life.
So transitioning over to the Andar wallets, and I've got the Griffin, it has literally changed everything. I couldn't even sit down with a wallet in my pocket. It was so big. So in this case, it was a matter of kind of paring down, using the different kind of slots, the RFID protection I like. I also like that the wallet has like a built-in money clip. I've always thought money clips are cool, but kind of not really practical.
Yeah.
Like you can carry your cards in one. This combines the two. So it combines a money clip, combines kind of this easy access to the your ID or to credit cards. And it's literally changed my game. I love it.
Yeah.
I haven't looked back.
It's a must for someone who wants to go from that huge
10-pound wallet
down to a front pocket wallet.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. And it's stylish. I know my wife, when I first got it, she was like, that's actually a really cool wallet. Like she picked up on that without me even bringing it up. So
Do you have the link in the promo code for them?
So yeah, if you guys are interested in checking out these amazing wallets, go to andarwallets.com/asteroidfactory. And the coupon code is asteroid15.
For 15% off.
Nice.
15%.
That's awesome.
Do it.
Do it.
You won't regret it.
No, you won't.
Your pockets will thank you.
Oh, look at this guy. Go to andarwallets.com/asteroidfactory. And the coupon code is asteroid15.
For 15% off.
Nice.
15%.
Yes, I'm calling the Asteroid Podcast to register a complaint about your episode on anime. You didn't speak about Speed Racer once the entire episode. Blasphemy. Excuse me, but does Dragon Ball Z have a car that has buzzsaw blades out the front? I think not. Does Pokemon have a interesting relationship between a boy and his brother, whose name is Rex, but also goes by the name of Racer X? Not at all! Look, get your shit straight, podcast. That's all I'm saying. Hashtag Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone.
Hey there, guys and gals. Welcome to another episode of the Asteroid Factory podcast, where we are your hosts, James Von Doom.
I'm Chewy.
And I'm Three Toes of Fury.
Our nerd knowledge is on point, ain't it?
Oh, it is.
Chewy, I want to buy an album with the new remix of our theme. This is tight.
Thank you.
It's creepy.
Thank you.
It's the best way. Outstanding.
Thank you very much.
I know. Gave me chills the first time I listened to it.
Is this like the 17-minute version?
No, the 17-minute version we use at the end.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
We hired, I guess, the remaining members of Pink Floyd to record the last. Yeah.
Member.
Yeah.
Ish.
I'm real creeped out about that message we just played. I don't know who that was.
Yeah.
Someone's man, the voicemail real pissed is going off the rails.
It is. Yeah.
He was pissed off about that. That candlelight conversation we had.
I mean, let's be honest. He's got some skin lamps in his basement.
Oh, there's no doubt. But he's also got a point, which is weird.
Does
I
he? Mean,
it feels like it. I don't want to take the road less traveled.
I mean, I'd like to take a lead pipe to his kneecaps.
You could.
Dragon Ball Z anime.
We're tasting a whiskey today, aren't we?
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We hinted at this in our episode 5.
Yeah.
Where we talked about celebrity-endorsed whiskey. And I picked up a bottle of the Metallica whiskey. Yeah.
Took one for the team. It looks good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little bummed it's not Lars's, though. It's not his batch.
Yeah, so this is batch 92, and it is Kurt Hammett's batch.
Do you think they let Trujillo even have a batch? Do you think it just skips? It's like three of them?
They didn't tell him.
Maybe they pull in Bob Rock for the fourth batch. Like,
that's a great question. I don't know if I saw his name. I'm pretty sure it's there.
Hey, what are you guys doing this weekend?
Oh, nothing. No, we're all busy. Oh, that's cool.
Finds out later, like it's like a party.
We're going to go watch the new trailer for Cats.
Yeah. Whoa.
Should we be playing Metallica for this or no?
Do you got some?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's
think it's loud enough.
Yeah, probably.
Well, okay, Google, play Metallica, Sad But True.
Okay, Sad But True by Metallica.
What?
Here we go. You want to taste this whiskey?
Let's do it.
Cheers boys. Friend. Oh, God.
Cheers to it. Look at you with the big glass.
It's not bad.
It's not.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. It's not bad at all.
This is some whiskey drinking music.
Give me blood.
Okay.
Oh, I dig. Okay. Thank you.
In order, because they are blockers. Woo. Metallica does block, so you might
want to
stop.
Yeah, okay, Google. Stop.
Stop it.
My setup.
My butthole just puckered. I sensed the lawsuit coming.
Okay, who's going first with the click to pick or the asteroid pick of the week?
I will.
Okay.
Go.
Let me welcome all of you to Doom's asteroid pick of the week. Butthole.
You're the butthole. No, my asteroid. my That's asteroid pick of the week is the release of probably the biggest movie of the last 10 years. For sure, Endgame. I told you I was going to not buy it on digital.
And you did.
And wait 2 weeks.
You did.
Come on. Like, I was going to wait 2 weeks.
Yeah, of course.
What year is it? I haven't bought it on 4K.
Right.
Well, I rephrase that. I've bought it on 4K digital. I haven't bought it on 4K disc, which I do feel is a little bit crisper. But I'm in triple digit viewings. Not of the whole film. I'm not a psychopath for the most part. Mm-hmm. It's just so good every time.
Yeah.
Fucking love
it. Every time. The wife was watching it with me, and it wasn't even a sad moment. When the portal seemed to open, she's bawling her eyes out. I mean, it was a little sad. But
no spoilers. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Hey, the Russo brothers gave us the okay.
That's so right.
We can spoil the shit out of it.
Isn't it? I've heard that from so many different places. Like all the podcasts I listen to, all the YouTube channels I listen to, everyone references the fact that the Russo brothers gave them the okay to use spoilers.
Yeah, but I feel like, well, there was part of that was just to get more asses in seats, but it was around the time when they were going to drop the Far From Home trailer.
Yeah.
That's right. And that kind of led with something to the effect of Tony's death. So
yeah, have you dove into the extras yet or no?
I have.
Yeah,
I did watch the deleted scene with Tony when he dies in the kneel. It was pretty good.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, it was. And somebody, I don't know if it was Chewy or not, but somebody was like, yeah. Oh, I think it might have been, and somebody else were like, yeah, it might have pissed off Trump supporters. What the fuck?
Where are they making those dots?
Yeah. That's actually what I thought when I first saw it on YouTube when they released it, was that they might have taken it out because it would have
the movement.
Kind of slanted it to a really heavy political stance.
So what's like, the scene?
They all kneel when Tony dies.
Yeah,
oh, like yeah, yeah. The kneel's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So they're tying that to the kneeling for the anthem?
Chewie said it, and I was like, that's kind of crazy. But then somebody else had said it, and I'm like, that's kind of the world we live in. In a really fucked up way.
Yeah. And that's why our podcast is going to turn political 100% of the time. So let's just put it on Front Street.
Our next guest is Rush Limbaugh.
Well, here's another thing.
Do you think if they included that scene, it would have added weight? Like, do you?
I think so. I thought it was pretty intense.
It was really cool. I mean, I like how they did it. I think they did it super tasteful. They kind of figured out who comes up and when. But it's another level of like, oh, that's so perfect.
Yeah. What was that other thing that I shared with you? I think I shared with both of you the person that laid.
Oh, the Iron Man song.
Black Sabbath over the snap. Yeah.
That's awesome.
At first viewing, my first thought was, why didn't they do this?
Right.
And then second, third viewing, I was like, okay,
it would take away from the somberness.
That they didn't do that, yeah.
Because then, no, never mind. I want to bite that one back. But yeah, it was a great film. I mean, it has overtaken Infinity War as my second favorite Marvel movie of all
really?
Time.
Really? Still Avengers number one?
Avengers number one, still
the first Avengers movie.
Yeah, I love it.
And you will buy the disc, you think?
I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know. I mean,
you cut ties with physical media. And I think it's actually probably the right move.
Do you know how many 4K movies I own physically? Two. Do you happen to know what those are? The first Avengers and Infinity War. So I don't know. I mean, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I don't own Age of Ultron in high definition.
Wow.
I bought it standard def on digital.
Wow.
Wait, standard def digital?
Yeah.
Was so HD available at the time?
I know. Guys, I already feel bad, you fuckers. You don't have to rub it in, man. Shit.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't either.
It's like they had to try harder to downgrade it.
Do you know how hard that was for me to admit to more than two people?
That's all right.
Yeah. Our four listeners.
So not unironically, this is the first 4K disc that I have ever purchased.
Yeah,
I think it is. So I intentionally upgraded on the purchase because I still physical media, certainly for all Marvel flicks. And as I was staring at the ones on the shelf, I'm like, I am going to upgrade my system at some point. This movie I will have to have just because of the rewatchability. So 4K. I'm looking forward to it.
Gotcha. It's gonna be good.
Yeah.
Get on it.
Yeah. I have to admit I have the 4K digital as well and really haven't watched the movie yet. Just skipped around and watched scenes I've wanted to see over and over.
Well, I just picked it up. This week I got some time free and I think I'm gonna put it on a loop. I'm gonna be rewatching it. Like, I can't wait.
3 hours is 3 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, coming home from work, popping that in, most people are going to be asleep by the second hour for sure. Yeah.
What's your click?
Yeah.
Do you want to introduce this one?
Get ready to get your buttholes tickled by Three Toes' Asteroid Pick of the
Feeling
week.
A weird theme.
You said buttholes for mine. So
that's my point.
Let's keep it rolling.
So
he's got some long fingernails.
So my pick of the week. Bam. Love you guys. My pick of the week was going to be for like the next 6 weeks what we'll be talking about today.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to bury the lead there. I'm going to keep it back, hold back. I had some others, but I'm running an Audible. I watched something this morning that is going to be my pick of the week. Turned on Netflix and was going to start up Mindhunter Season 2, which hands down in the future will be one of my picks. Did you guys catch Season 1 at all?
No.
Okay.
I've heard great things.
It's amazing.
On NPR the other night.
It's amazing, but it's not my pick. So... as I'm scrolling through the new releases, they had Woodstock, and I'm a big fan of the original Woodstock movie. Yeah. And right now, I mean, Woodstock is in the zeitgeist. It's the 50th anniversary. It is. And so I figured it was the original special. Turns out it's a new documentary, and it's awesome. Now, I love everything about Woodstock, the music and all the documentaries, books. I've read a bunch about it. But it's also kind of, like, I even read something this morning, like, it's been beat to death, like, in sort of the history of things.
Oh, yeah.
So... what's neat is now with documentaries, and off and on this last year I've seen them, and I'll probably bring some more to front in future picks. They're doing this really cool thing where they are relying solely on footage from the event with cutting in like interviews and stuff over it, but they aren't doing interstitials of just talking heads and modern day stuff. So this is a short documentary. It's only an hour and a half, but it's all footage. It's an incredible amount of footage I've never seen before, and it actually doesn't focus on the music. There's bits and pieces of music, but it's really... how the event came together, all the shit that went wrong, how it really, really just should have been a disaster by all rights and means, and still turned out kind of awesome. And so it's this incredible time capsule documentary where you get to see things behind the scenes and how shit went bad with food and all these like side camps and how they brought
What happened with the brown acid?
They, you know what? They didn't even reference that, which is crazy because that usually gets referenced where there was a thing where there was bad assets circulating the crowd. And a guy came up one morning, I think it was like on Saturday morning. He's like, hey, everybody, was warning you that people are having bad trips on this brown acid. They didn't even touch on that. But
where did you watch it?
It's on Netflix and it just dropped. I might have just
dropped it's today. A Netflix like original?
Yeah. So I think so. And it's only an hour and a half. And again, it just really serves as a little bit of like a history lesson and is very interesting. And yeah, I loved it. I loved it enough to where it like bumped out what I was going to talk about today. So
sounds like a sequel to the fire documentary. No, it kind of does. Like, wait, like
it's actually
in.
And now that's another great thing about it, where nowadays we have like a million festivals that typically worked. This was kind of the first, not first, but were the first of a handful of festivals of its type. So,
yeah.
But at least Woodstock in 1969, after all of its trials and tribulations, still happened.
Right. I mean, this show really goes into how there's no way it should have, because they got kicked out of their main site 4 weeks before the concert started. And they're like, it would take us another 6 months to really do this right. And they still pulled it off. So it's cool.
Nice.
Cool.
I will not check that out because it sounds boring as fuck.
That's cool.
Oh, damn.
You millennials.
Hey, wait.
Wait, I'm not a millennial.
Yeah, he's not. What the fuck?
Not even close. Okay, who's going to introduce me?
Here we go. We both did intros.
Here it goes.
Put on your clown shoes. Choose asteroid pick of the week.
something butthole.
My pick of the week this week is a podcast.
Oh.
Is it ours?
It is.
Yes! Please!
We did it!
The dragon eats its tail. Yeah.
So my pick is, I've been listening to the Conan O'Brien podcast for a while now, and it's turned out to be one of the best produced podcasts I've ever heard, and it's really high up there in terms of popularity, and he's a really good long-form interviewer, and Most of his podcasts have been about, I think, like an hour to an hour and a half with a lot of different celebrities. And his gimmick is his podcast is all about wanting to have friends. So he wants to get closer to the people that he's only been able to do like short panel with on his show. And the last two episodes have been a deep dive with Dana Carvey.
Yes.
And both the episodes have been, and there's going to be five more.
What?
Just Dana Carvey. Just him and Dana Carvey. And I haven't laughed as much as I have listening to Dana Carvey. Like, I always knew he was funny, and we grew up with him, you know, in, like, Wayne's World and SNL. Yeah. I can't remember really too much more, like, high-end, like, tentpole stuff that he did.
Not a lot.
Yeah. He kind of fell back after Wayne's World.
The turtle one.
I was just going to say, yes, because we would always make fun of the commercial, the turtle, where he's like shrugging his shoulders in the turtle costume. It was like something agent disguisey, something or other.
Oh, man.
But Conan, for a while now, has been amping up these episodes that they're coming because he was going to take a break. And I kind of just took it with a grain of salt because he kept saying like how Dana Carvey's one of the funniest people alive. And the podcasts are funny. It's just all riffing.
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
That podcast has become one of my favorites. I think it's a cool testimony too. I don't particularly watch a lot of late night talk shows because I don't care for the short form.
Yeah.
But long form, where he's just kind of unleashed. He's so creative. He's so self-effacing. His humor is so tight. And his interview style is great.
Yeah.
He gets great people. He gets diverse people. Shout out for the production on that one. It's Matt Gourley, who's a huge podcast guy, and he comes from one of my favorite all-time podcasts, Super Ego. He's
wow, okay, yeah.
Of the three, it's Sona, him, Gourley, and then Team Coco.
Just okay, them,
so. Yeah,
nice, yeah.
I haven't listened to this one yet, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it's really good. It's nice to like get to know Conan, his assistant, and Sona. Gourley as like a three-person team, and to kind of get to know like how Conan is like behind the scenes, but yeah.
And their backstory there. So Sona, she about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Kumail Nanjiani had to cancel on his show at the last minute, and she came in on the show and was like the unexpected guest.
Yeah,
it's actually really funny. Is even kind of in conjunction to what I just said. I looked it up online and found a little interview with her, and she's really funny, really. And she literally, like a minute before the show, they're like, "Yeah, just get out there. You're going to be interviewed tonight."
Oh yeah, yeah.
And she's like doing the whole riffing on him buying her house, and. Riffing on it. Yeah, he's a nice guy most of the time. It's really funny stuff.
Yeah.
Like, she's great, too. So.
Yeah.
Cool. So
that's my click. Check it out. It's a good podcast. It's not as good as ours.
No.
No. But it's good. Yeah.
Sorry, Coco.
Sorry, Matt.
But no, I would hope that like if enough people listen, I loved Dana Carvey. And I feel like he's one of the greatest comics, but like, I mean, I don't know if you ask maybe 20 people today, you know, who's Mike Myers, they might not know, sadly. And he's, you know, but I always felt like Dana Carvey was really overshadowed and never given like props for being hilarious.
There's some really interesting interviews with Dana Carvey, let's say on like Howard Stern that you can find on YouTube where he talks about his relationship with
Mike
Myers. Yeah.
Oh, that didn't go well, right?
No.
What?
It wasn't good.
For real?
Yeah.
There's like a rift?
Oh, yeah. I guess a lot of the Austin Powers character was stolen from Dana Carvey.
No.
Yeah.
Well, and Dr. Evil is 100%
Dana Carvey. That's his impersonation
of Lorne Michaels.
Lorne Michaels, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And which is now everybody does a Lorne Michaels impression, which is Dr. Evil. Like, it's spot on.
Yeah.
Holy cow. So is a rift still there between them?
I thought it wasn't because there was rumors of Wayne's World 3.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I would
Everybody goes back to the well.
That would just be, that would be a huge moneymaker.
Oh my God.
Huge.
I'm going to look that up.
Huge.
That's awesome.
Huge. Yeah.
But what music would you put in that movie now? Would it just be Alice
Greta
Cooper?
Greta Van Fleet.
Oh, shit.
That will haunt Chewie's dreams tonight.
And, you know, cheers again. Let's take another sip of the whiskey because Greta Van Fleet is on tour with Metallica in South America.
Fuck yeah.
You know what? I would fly to, I got to pick a country in South America. Chile? To
Chile?
Hear Metallica just crush Master of Puppets with Greta Van Fleet. Oh, who's in?
I'm down. It might be the bourbon.
His surprise, boys. I got three front row seats for that concert. With your names on it.
In Chile?
Yeah.
Let's go. One of us is getting abducted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And probe. Yeah.
Okay.
And now to the politics.
You know, we did not introduce the main topic this week.
Right.
Because we started off with that real creepy message from someone.
Yeah.
Hashtag restraining order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what are we talking about?
Boys?
Wait. I can't say the name of the song without giving it away. I was going to have him play The Boys Are Back in Town by Thin Lizzy.
Yeah. I thought you were going to go smoking in the boys' room.
Oh.
Boys Are Back in Town?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, Boys Are Back in Town.
Boys on the Side?
Boys. It's just so much better, The Boys.
The Boys.
Yeah, The Boys.
The Boys.
What a ride.
On Amazon Prime.
An Amazon Prime original. So, I'm usually not in any of their stuff, but thank you, Three Toes, for literally punching me.
Same here.
So truly, and the irony of ironies is that I had just re-listened to one of our last episodes the morning it had dropped, or just before it had dropped, and it was when we were talking about the different streaming services, and I threw out the question. I was like, do you guys use Prime at all for streaming? And it went from like a week before where we're like, no, not really, to now I'm like, fuck all these other streaming services. I will stay with whoever has The Boys forever because this show knocked me on my ass 15 minutes into the first episode. Now, first things first, we are throwing out the disclaimer since we have all completed it that we're allowed to talk spoilers.
Yes,
right?
So this is going to be a spoiler-heavy podcast. So if you have not watched The Boys as of yet, you will want to stop this and murder yourself. No, stop this, go watch it, and then come back and listen to us.
Hey, that's it. And you know what? I'll start there. It's rare for me to push a show. I mean, we'll talk about our picks, and they'll say, hey, this is good, click to pick, et cetera, but this is one that, out of the gates, I reached out to you guys immediately and then just started the network of people and friends where I was like, if you have this channel, watch a show. I suggested it to certain people because the show is so batshit crazy and over the line that I could see some people not connecting with it, but I
was offended at first, but you know, I got over it.
There is a level of intensity that you have to make sure that someone
visceral.
Is cool with.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's not even gore. It's like, I don't know. Like, it's offensive, but I mean, in a good way.
It is.
But like, just the characters. And it's interesting. Did you feel that all of the characters, and I'm not ragging on the show by any means. I would give it a 9 out of 10.
I hated it.
Okay. the characters were Homelander is one of the greatest creations. Well,
don't go there. Go there.
He is my favorite character on the show, without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, I like a good villain, and spoilers, he's the villain. But did you guys read Red Son, the Superman comic by Mark Miller?
No.
A long time ago. I think it was
the concept. Well, Homelander wasn't raised by the Russians, but it was the concept that he basically didn't get a good upbringing and kind of turns into a psychopath. And it kind of runs along the lines like Homelander was raised in a lab and didn't have parents. And, well, you see what happens. I mean, and I was talking to Chewie about it. It's like, man, if I was a god on Earth, why would you care about anything?
Right. Yeah.
Right. I'd laser some people on an airplane, which that scene. I just kissed the butthole.
And that's the thing about the show. There's certain scenes that everybody, when you're allowed to talk backwards about it, go to. And without fail, the airplane scene is the first, which is insane. The dolphin escape is probably the second.
Yeah. Which is bad. I mean, within the first 10 minutes of the show, the A-train running through
his girlfriend.
His girlfriend. Beautiful. That's huge.
And did you guys come in? I feel like I watched the first trailer when it first dropped, but it had no spoilers. And all it showed to me was like, oh, the show looks like it's got cool production value. But I didn't know going into it any of the concepts. So, like, out of the gates, I was like, wait, one of the good guys just squashed his girlfriend? Like, I didn't know this was going to be a flipping it around. So for me, I think that made it even more like, oh, this is going to be way different.
There's this thing that caught me about the show where, and it's the same thing, I guess, everyone kind of freaked out, or not freaked out, but everyone really liked New Hope, Star Wars New Hope, when it first came out, because it was one of the first mainstream sci-fi movies that felt lived in.
Right.
Like, Darth Vader's helmet was not perfect, it was scratched, like, the world was lived in and dirty.
It was gritty.
It was gritty, and most sci-fi is really sterile and clean. This show, The Boys, is very lived in. Like, even the casting, even the actors, they're all attractive people, but they're all kind of
off-looking.
They're all strange-looking, normal people.
And the fact that they cast, by and large, mostly unknowns. I mean, there's a couple A-listers and B-listers love, because there's no preconceived notion. I mean, and for me, Homelander.
But to your who is A-list?
Urban.
Elizabeth Shue was an A, but now she's an A.
But she's
that's
a
the best part.
Like, it is?
I loved, oh my God.
She's so good.
Yeah.
I think I was upset that she died. Like,
because you like, you liked her character.
I loved her
you
character.
Liked her. And I could see her character continuing. And
can I ask a question?
Why was Gus Fring in it? Go on.
No. Oh, Gus.
Hashtag love.
No, and this might be skipping ahead a little bit. And this is going to be diving into just a, probably some theories for season two is, they show Homelander with, I can't remember her name. Elizabeth
Queen Maeve?
Elizabeth Shue.
God. Sitwell. Yes, Stillwell.
Stillwell.
Nice.
They show him with her being very childlike.
That's so great.
Even through the intercourse scene, being not knowing what he was doing.
Yeah.
And then you find out that he has a child at the end of the show, and Homelander tells
Butcher,
it was all her coming on to him, and he took advantage of her.
They banged for three hours.
That's not true, because you saw how he was with the coitus. But he wasn't comfortable.
But did he
getting it
rape
in
her?
No, I don't know.
Then why did it take her three hours to come out with a shoe off?
I think you're reading into the scene, but it is an interesting observation, because, and that's what I love about that character, the Homelander character, is how they
It's all
along, they kind of tease how fucked up he is. Because early on, there's just the scenes of him looking at her kid and the scenes of her, like, her breastfeeding. I'm like, okay, he's got some mommy issues.
Maybe. You're leaking.
But then it continues and develops. Yeah. Where that's why his character arc is fucking awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. The scene where he's filming the commercial at the fake house, and he has to go through these different emotions as an actor, where he has to be like, he sees the blanket and he freaks out and he's all pissed, and he's got to be Mr. Nice Guy.
What was the deal with the blanket?
It was his blanket.
So that was his blanket.
Everything else was fake. House.
Yes. Yeah. And it freaked him out, and it took him out of his character.
I thought he was going to fucking kill the dude there. I was kind of like, he kind of deserves it.
But he's awesome.
That's a weird, he's a weird actor. Like, he reminds me of a different actor every time I see. Like, he's reminding me of a whole bunch of different, like, A-list.
All I can get is Fassbender off.
Yeah, Fassbender.
First shot, I was like, and then, which is a high praise. High praise. He's phenomenal.
Can we talk about a serious topic? Gil rape.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, it really disturbed me.
Actually, like, there's the only scene that I was like, I felt a little on the nose.
I hated his character in the beginning because of what he did. But then towards the end of the season, I felt really bad for him.
One of the best lines in the whole show was like, I did my research, and you're just the fucking fish guy. Yeah. Like, I'm like, good. For, well, good for her. She was a. I liked Starlight a lot. Liked like.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing. She's amazing.
Her whole road and all that. But that scene with her shoving her, was she super? The girl that.
No.
In
no,
the gills?
She was just a small town. It was just a role reversal of like him getting what's coming to him.
Oh, I mean, yeah, he deserved it.
That's
of
a,
course.
Yeah, that's, did. A, that's, but, a, that's a hashtag he too.
But at the same time, and this opens up a topic that I thought about as I was watching the show, is that I don't feel like the good and bad is cut and dry as it's portrayed. No. I feel like the boys themselves, the group, and some of the stuff that they go after and do, I'm not saying it's not unwarranted in the big picture, but it's kind of unwarranted in the big picture. I mean, the Supes are bad, different degrees of creepy, evil, horrible, but they are not all universally slime.
No.
Well, to the extreme, they're slime, but they're not. There's different levels of it. And to some of the stuff that the boys group, quote unquote, does back to them, they aren't really angels either. So it's sort of a...
You know, I think of the group, really Carl Urban is the only, like, kind of villain. I mean, he's a villain. He's not a good guy. He's not an anti-hero. He's just as bad as the Supes are. I mean, I get his purpose is good, but at what cost? Like, exactly. He was ready to throw his team away and all that shit.
Yeah.
And then when the plan that from the FBI lady was kind of in front of him, and he still turned it down because it didn't get him what he wanted, because it didn't get him Homelander. And so that's part of the depth of the writing. And then, Chewie, I think you and I talked about how even if you go down the road of some of the set pieces and the subject matter of the religious stuff, while it's just, cool, it was a cool set, and it gave him some kind of diversion from the main show, it still gets down the road of some cool ideas of growing up in a religious family, and then kind of like having to face that later on and be like, wait, some of the shit is wrong. I mean, look at the way they're treating homosexuals. This is fucked up. So the religious aspect of things, the corporate aspect of things, of kind of control, like, it's a really well-written show.
Yeah.
Chewie said something to me earlier in the week, and it was crazy, like, not how family friendly the MCU is, and obviously not gore based, but like it made me think, like, what if Captain America gave a shit about sponsors? Like, it would have changed the entire universe. I mean, Iron Man was a billionaire, so he probably didn't give a shit regardless, but like, let's say I don't know who was poor, Scarlet Witch, she came from a third world country, and like, hey, we'll give you $2 million a year to, like, get butt naked on, I mean, it could have changed the whole universe.
Wait, was this one of the deleted scenes on Endgame?
I know the Watchmen kind of made people rethink stuff.
Yeah.
However, going back to that comment I said about lived in, the Watchmen never felt lived in. The Watchmen always felt very stylized and painted with broad strokes, but also painted.
What the fuck?
God, let me go.
I'm not going to go any further
deeper
than that.
Dig deeper.
But I'm glad you referenced it.
I don't want to start shitting on The Watchmen because people love that.
It's my favorite thing of all time. And I referenced
the movie?
The book.
But you like the movie.
I like it. I like it a lot, actually. I like it a lot more than I should.
Yeah. But what makes The Boys different from The Watchmen? What did The Boys do differently that makes it so visceral or so...
They're more real. The Boys are...
But I think they're an extension of it, because The Watchmen... Well, it's extreme, you're right, and it's maybe a little bit more on the stylized side. It went down the road of what if superheroes had some of the same fallacies as we do, or the bad of us do.
Yeah.
And so, because it touched on that. It touched on rape. It touched on the comedian is kind of a horrible person.
Oh, what a dick.
So this show takes that, and then it takes it to a whole new level of what could be if the Supes themselves are not held to the ethics that you normally see superheroes doing. So I think it's an extension of it, but I don't think it's copying it, which
not at all.
But I don't know how they pulled it off.
True.
It doesn't feel, because otherwise I'd be like, fuckers, you're just copying The Watchmen, but they aren't. They're going in a new road.
Yeah.
I think, and for me, it's like The Watchmen, there wasn't real superheroes. There was one guy who was basically God. Which, I mean, Homelander's kind of like, but you also have other gods there. Like, it's
a great point.
It's a bit of a dynamic shift. Like, at the end of the day, what was Rorschach? I mean, he just beat the shit out of...
He's just a thug. Sociopath that's sort of awesome on a good character. Side. Oh, he's the best.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So I love it. You know what? And there's so many scenes. There's too many. I mean, the biggies we hit on, there was the mayor's plane, the first plane that got blown up, which is crazy because he's on there with his kid.
I just love the smile and wave.
Oh, hey, and the best part about that is afterwards, where Stillwell, what's her name?
I think it's still sit well.
Sit well.
Where she's like chastising him like he's a little kid who broke a toy.
Yeah.
She's like, did you blow up that plane? Well, I saw through the wall. Like it's so good for that relationship.
And you knew at the very end that she was terrified of him. Like who wouldn't be? Oh, if you've known the guy reveal. For 10 minutes. Like
I'm scared. He's thanks. I love when Huey. Yeah. What runs into A-Train in the hallway when they're going to visit his girlfriend. Yeah. And he doesn't was recognize
pissed
him.
He did. But I'm like, Huey, get the fuck out of there, man. Like, I'm talking to the screen. Yeah. Like.
Yes. But the fact that he didn't recognize him just totally, like, the writing on the show, and it, again, perfect number of episodes. Every episode, I did those filler. Every episode tried to have one or two kind of, like, holy shit moments. But that, the show didn't live or die on those. They're great.
No. Yeah.
But it kept me going through it. So, question at hand, ending, final scene, final reveal. Happy, sad.
Loved it?
Yeah.
I learned a lesson. Don't look at social media for answers on a question you have mid-season.
No, you should be
spoiled for the end of the fucking season.
Oh, the hashtag amateur.
Yeah. That's for me. Fuck me. What was the question again about the end?
The ending. So you had spoiled it.
Yeah, well, Stillwell being killed or Sitwell being killed.
I'm not even going there. I mean, I
love the ending.
Good.
Love the fact that you can't walk away from that shot, that painting of his wife.
Butcher. Homelander.
Homelander and Homelander's son.
Yep.
And you can't walk away from that and not want to see immediately how the fuck Butcher gets out of that situation.
Yes.
Like, how the hell are any of those characters going to move? Like, what's the next step for any of those characters?
So why would Homelander save him? For me?
I agree. Like, my initial thought was like, oh, he's going to save him to show him and then kill him. Like, what's the point of keeping Butcher around?
They have to explain that because that's a way too big of a jump, I'll leave, I think. For me, I looked at my watch when there's like 15 minutes of the show left on the last episode. I was like, what? There's no possible way this season can wrap up. I was a little bummed because I kind of wanted a real tight season arc. I think they did it. And I think that curveball took me in a weird direction. Was it, Chewy, was it you? Somebody pointed out that at the scene just before that where they're in her place with her baby and he like fries her with the eyes and stuff like that, the kid's still alive. But then when Butcher sets off the bomb.
I was just going to ask that question. Did the baby die?
Yeah, it has to, right? Because if Butcher set off
the bomb.
I didn't
even think about that.
Somebody brought up to first maybe it was another buddy.
Unless Homelander saved the baby with too. Butcher.
Maybe. And maybe we'll see that later. But I was like, holy fuck. Because otherwise I was like, that kid's got nobody.
Because it was a soup. Because the baby was a soup, right?
No, her baby wasn't.
I thought her baby was the one that was laser eyes.
No. Okay. No, you're thinking of The Incredibles too. I can tell you get those mixed up.
Yeah, well, I think they wanted you to think that at a certain point. Like you wanted to think that the baby that was in the
her kid was his kid?
The NICU.
No.
The baby that was in the NICU when they went to go get the special H.
The only thing I was thinking like would be like a cool plot twist is like, yeah, her baby was a soup, but kind of young to remember that her mom was killed and he like comes back later and like But true question. Did anyone think that somebody was going to survive the plane crash? Like the whole, after the plane scene, I thought there was going to be one survivor.
Oh, yeah, same.
That was like,
same
here. That'd be good.
That's too easy.
Dick,
that, you know? Right? That's too easy.
It was. But I mean, I thought that,
And that scene. I can't talk about that scene enough.
I will laser you all.
Well done.
That and the fact, every time you saw his eyes glow red, like all the shots of Homelander in the dark, like just like walking through shadows with his eyes glowing.
That scene in the warehouse, it was the last episode or it was either 7 or 8 where he's just like walking through Syria and he's just like smiling, like slow motion walking. Yeah. I'm like,
we're all good boys.
Yeah, those are great. Yeah.
And then the dude gets away. He's like, these are human lives.
And of course referenced earlier, but bears repeating the scene with the heist of the dolphin. And the scene with the heist is just this weird combination of silly, funny, fucked up, and then it keeps going, and it like it's the greatest like build of a scene, and the dialogue between him and the dolphin is hilarious. Like, well, no, it's not out of the question. I was like, is he talking about fucking this dolphin?
Touching him?
What if I just touch it? I was like, he's talking about fucking this dolphin. This show is bananas. And then the quick stop, and so all of that, I was like, okay, that's the scene's over. And then the fucking dolphin gets shot out of the window and run over. Yeah. It's this perfect building of craziness that is the show.
And I think that scene is the beginning of the Deep's
turn.
Turn.
Oh, yeah.
And the Deep kind of going through his change into being a character that you actually feel sorry for, because that happens. The lobster happens.
It's like the lobster.
He's like, I'm going to get you out of here.
I'm going to get you out of here.
I liked his new
that's
his
my
new
guy.
Handler.
That's my guy.
Like the nice guy where he's like, here's your $75 yeah, date for DM.
Welcome. Well, we got like a good roller coaster.
We're not a shithole like Akron.
Wait.
Ooh, Kirk just came out.
Yeah. Kirk Hammett chose the wrong set of tunes to play towards this cask.
Wrong guy to stop sniffing glue.
What food does his handler mention to him? Oh, he said there's like a Dairy Queen nearby. He's like, yeah. Blizzards and stuff?
Blizzards and shit. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, that dolphin scene, though, I was watching the episode with the wife, and she, like, audibly, she was like, no!
Yeah, like, and it's like in slow motion. Like, it just can't get worse, like, and it gets
worse.
I'm like,
it's not a real dolphin. Yeah. Sad.
Yeah. Well, because we're running over time.
Yep. Oh.
Let's end this one with, has anyone seen the teaser for season 2?
What?
Yeah, it dropped, I think, yesterday or the day before.
How was that? Well, okay, I was on a social
media. I knew they were working on it, but...
No, it's out.
So, like, a couple days ago... So, first things first, we talked about this, that when this show aired, within a couple days of it airing, they said, not only is the second season already greenlit, yay, it's already been filming, awesome. Then about a week ago, they dropped a picture of four of the main cast members all covered in blood and just flipping off the camera, and they said, first set pick from season 2.
Yeah.
So, that's all I've seen. But I also heard that the co-producers... Oh, yeah, we talked about that... got a chance to see the first episode, which so it's already in the can.
Yeah.
Talk about the teaser. Haven't seen it.
Teaser is actually longer than you would think, and it's a scene. It's not a trailer. It's just a scene, and it feels like something they probably shot for season 1, and it's Homelander as a child being, like, I don't want to give too much away before you see it, because I actually don't want to spoil the teaser.
Okay, because you're a good person.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, but it's a... It's Homelander as a child.
Awesome.
Being, I don't know what word to use, being...
poked, prodded, studied, analyzed, pushed, filed, stamped,
reprimanded.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was good stuff. That's another...
It's really good stuff.
There's a great scene where the Homelander is figuring out the reality of his kid as he goes back and forth between the scientist guy who raised him and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And when he goes back
what
to her...
What the fuck with that scene?
And that was the reveal where she said something about, like, the miscarriage, and you could just see the click.
In his eyes.
And he's like, so subtle. As a viewer, you're the one like, fuck, something's weird here. I didn't even pick up on it. But then when he goes back to her and he's like, yeah, I went back and I made him talk. You're like, fucker,
I squeezed it out of him. You know that he was talking about the D&B. The Sackman and Throbbin were squeezed off.
Okay, let's end it on this. Do you guys feel for Homelander, and do you feel sorry for him?
Yeah.
That's the secret.
Yeah, no
choice. You actually like him as a character. He's actually part hero. Like, there's part hero in him, and there's also messed up.
No. I don't know about part hero, but I feel like he's a great villain, like, in the sense that he had no choice. He was pumped full of this shit and raised by a psycho German doctor. Where have I heard that?
Just like
that
he pumped Elizabeth's shoe.
It feels all familiar. He is definitely a product of an environment that he was not able to protect himself from. Yeah. So he is the battered kid that grows up to be a battering father. Well, that seems like
he might be a good dad. Statement.
You don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
He hasn't had a chance to be a father
but yet. So using that analogy and following through, I don't give that father a pass, because that's what you got to grow. Yeah. You have to be above that, and he hasn't and isn't.
Yeah,
he's a pretty creepy, fucked up dude.
Yeah.
And real quick, shout out to Seth Rogen.
Thank you
for like just taking a chance. Like, I enjoyed. I mean, he must really like Garth Ennis, the Preacher. Yes. I've enjoyed. I got to catch up, but this
every time the Preacher is on, I see something that gives me nightmares. Like, it's a really weird. Like, I've never watched the show. I might have watched the first episode when you wanted me to.
So good.
Like,
That's a show, and that's we actually pitched in one of the future episodes. We're going to talk about adaptations. Like, I was a big fan way back of the Preacher comic, but I was like, that will never see the light of day. When they picked it up and ran with it, I'm like, you can't. And they made some differences, but they still. As I was watching this show, I was like, oh, this is like as fucked up as The Preacher. I had no idea this was written by the same guy. So as we started to talk, holy shit, this is an Ennis book. And produced by Goldberg and Rogan, who did The Preacher, which is amazing. It's a great show.
Joe Rogan?
Yes, Joe Rogan. Yes. Anyway, Tesla, let me ruin your career. So It's I've seen Preacher up until last season. For some reason, I took a pause, and I need to catch up because I think this now
there's four.
There's fourth now, and I think it's the final season.
Yep.
But it is the writing on the Preacher. It's not 100%. There's some that feels a little fillery, but it's still a crazy ass show, and it's very analogous to this in that it goes places that you don't normally see in a show. It's written for a very niche group, and I can't believe it ever got made. Same for this, and I think it's doing wonders for Amazon. Yeah. So it's a matter of connecting and trusting your audience.
Gotcha. We're not supposed to talk about Preacher in this cast.
Yeah, well, why not?
I motherfucker. Guess. Yeah. Well, do you want to see us out on this one? You got to see us out.
All right.
Did you want that picture out of a dick and balls over there?
I'm going to nickname him Smiley.
Big thank you to Metallica.
Yes.
For making a shit whiskey.
Yeah, thank you for bringing it. It wasn't bad.
No, it's actually pretty good. We're all drinking it neat, and it's actually pretty good neat.
I'm going to my second glass.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right, well, thanks for tuning into this episode of the Asteroid Factory podcast.
Yes, check out our website. Go to asteroidfactory.com to find out all the different places where you can listen to our podcast. It's available anywhere you can find good podcasts.
Because we're a good podcast.
Yeah, leave us a message on the Anchor site. If you want us to use it online, if you do, we'll send you something nice and nerdy. We promise.
Are we going to send something to that like a-hole that did the opening?
Yeah. This is a PSA for that creepy fuck. If you leave any more messages on our goddamn line, we're going to find you and we're going to kill you.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, because we're on all three. If you want to get in on some conversations there, leave us messages there if you want to.
We'll be doing a book signing at Walden Books next week.
Walden Books? God, you're old.
It's my thing.
And put your ankles in it.